One day, the clock began to worry about its responsibilities, all those ticks it had to tick. It had to tick 120 ticks a minute, 7,200 ticks an hour, 172,800 ticks per day, 1,209,000 ticks per week. That's more than 62 million ticks a year. Well, the clock got overwhelmed, as you'd expect. The clock became introspective. Rather than focusing on keeping time, it began to focus on what would happen if it did not keep time. Thought to himself, would I become worthless? Will my owner get rid of me? Will he trade me in for a new digital clock? This concern persisted. So he went to a psychologist and said, explain his troubles. He says, all those ticks, I don't see how I can stand it. Psychiatrist said, just wait a minute. No. Dad joke? No, you'd hate to be a clock, wouldn't you? Oh, but I think we resonate though, don't we? So many things to do, so little time, so many concerns, so concerned about getting it done, you stop getting it done, all those type of things. Fear, anxiety, we all have it. Some is to more degree than others. Sometimes it's our disposition, sometimes our circumstances. And in some research somewhere, they say 40% of things people worry about never happen. 30% of the worries are related to past matters that we can't change. 12% have to do with the anxiety about health, even though there is no illness. 10% is worry about friends or neighbours, even in most cases there's no reason to be anxious. So in theory, just 8% of the worries seem to have some basis in reality. What this means is most of the things we worry about never actually happen. Now, what I've said is probably not helpful. You're just going to worry about the fact that you worry about nothing. Well, the passage of scripture today, again written 2,000 years ago by the Apostle Paul and to the church, instructs or even commands the church, do not be anxious about anything. That's right. Don't be anxious about anything. In doing so, he doesn't stop there. The apostle instructs the church how to deal with their anxiety. But before we even get any further, the biggest problem with anxiety, the most dangerous aspect of anxiety, is not anxiety itself. The most dangerous aspect of anxiety is not the fact that it makes me unhappy or affects me psychologically or physically. The most dangerous aspect of anxiety is that it affects our relationship with God. Anxiety can embed itself in our faith. Anxiety can cause us to reinterpret God according to our circumstances, reinterpret God to how I feel. Anxiety can get so, I guess, engaged that it tramples our hearts and minds and makes us think that God is distant, that God doesn't care, and we lose the inward peace of God himself. But the beauty of our God is he does understand and he shows us a way out. So where he lands it, what Paul wants to do with the church, what God wants to do with us today, is to protect our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus against anxiety. Okay, that's the goal. We walk out of here saying, Lord, you've got my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So a few more sermons to go on Philippians. A few weeks ago before Easter, we looked at the conflict between Euodia and Syntyche. We understood that it started to affect the whole church, and that there might well be a division in the church. And maybe that's maybe the source of the anxiety to which Paul is writing, because you know that when relationships aren't good, anxiety levels are high, right? There's another source, a possible source of anxiety for the church. That was the threat of the Roman Empire. Because of the status of citizens of a Roman colony, the Philippians were certainly candidates for anxiety, because it was a time when Nero was starting to, Caesar Nero was beginning to, Emperor Nero was starting to boil and starting to steamroll Christians, blaming them for the fire in Rome. So they knew at some point in time they would have to face persecution. Okay, so let's see how the Lord, through the Apostle Paul, addresses them and addresses us today. So how does God guard our hearts in Christ Jesus? Look at verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So there's the first instruction from God. Don't be anxious. That command is in followed by, if you like, four aspects of prayer. You know, prayer, petition, thanksgiving, present your requests. So the whole point is, okay, we're anxious. Another thing to note here says, don't be anxious about anything. That means that anxiety has a very long reach. It's so far reaching, it can affect anything. Anxiety can reach any aspect of your life. It's as common as the air we breathe. Anxiety is available in any context, in any relationship, in any church, in any situation. And last Wednesday night in our Bible study, we sort of raised the question, do you think we have more anxiety, they had more anxiety in the first century than we do today? What do you think? We know things like in the first century, they had severe instances, if you like, that created anxiety. Things like medical help was not impressive. I mean, think about it, having tooth problems in the first century. Seriously, it's bad enough today. But having teeth, oh man, that's going to be the worst. Most families lost one or more or all their children. Life was harsh, brutal, and short. So they had anxiety in the first century and it was quite intense. What about today? This is the sort of stuff that I was thinking of that sort of affects me. The amount of connectedness we have in society, constant communication, constant awareness of the negative circumstances in the world, our own very high expectations of life. What makes us more anxious? Fear of pandemics, of terrorist attacks, global boiling, fear of asteroid collisions, fear of war. I don't believe in aliens, but hey, some of you may fear aliens, I don't know. Fear of nuclear war, cost of living, housing affordability, particularly for our children, running out of power, losing my superannuation, my nest egg, cancer, death. Then there's the everyday stuff of life, conflict with work colleagues, you know, if you're studying, exams, the expectations that are placed upon you by family and friends. Or the anxiety comes from competition at work, a denigrating family life, an arid marriage, a rebellious teenager, general bereavement and grief, aging parents. Anxiety because I have so many voices speaking to me through social media, through Facebook and Insta and TikTok. And anxiety because I'm confused about who I am and what am I here for, and so many different role models, and just too much. Anxiety has reached into our lives like an invading army, seeking to undermine your peace, trampling your faith in Jesus. There's nothing necessarily sinful about anxiety. Okay. For example, Jesus says in the Garden of Gethsemane, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Wow, that's massive amounts of anxiety. You read the Psalms. O Lord, hear when I cry aloud. Paul in Corinthians. And apart from all these things, there's the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Everyday anxiety is not necessarily a sin. Well, in fact, it's not a sin. But let me also make this caveat. As I'm talking about anxiety and concerns today, I'm not talking about clinical or life-consuming anxiety, a biological source or multiple traumas. I'm not talking in that space. We really are talking about the anxiety of life in general, which we all are consumed or are consumed by. But there is a time when anxiety does become, if you like, a sin. When the natural anxieties of life reaches into your heart and dominates you, to the point where it becomes your master, that all your thoughts and actions are dictated to by your fears and anxiety. When Jesus speaks about worries and anxiety in the Sermon on the Mount, he actually rebukes the crowds and says, you have little faith. And why does he say that? Because thoughts of God have become harsh. That when you start to think through the anxieties of life, you start thinking about God as being difficult, or God being stingy, or God being callous. You see, when Jesus rebukes the crowds about anxiety, he says, you as fathers, though you are sinful, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more God himself? So it becomes a sin when you start to say, God, you are not good. Psalm 95, it's an interesting psalm, celebrating God, hallelujah God. And yet, why do they harden their hearts? Because they said, God has dragged us out of Egypt to kill us in the desert. Okay. That is when anxiety, fear becomes a need to repent. When you start to allow that emotional concern, even logical concern, dominate your understanding of who God is. So what's the answer to all of that stuff? Let's look at the second half of verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Second half of the verse begins with the word but, so it's always a big contrast coming on. But God said there's a way around the anxiety that threatens your very faith. God does not say, just work it out, try harder. God does not say, what's wrong with you? Pull up your socks. God is not saying, use human endeavor to overcome your anxiety. He says instead, worship God in prayer. Put it in negative, turn away from your anxiety in which you entangle yourself. Turn away from your self-confidence that you can do it. Turn away from wallowing in self-pity and turn to me in prayer. So what happens when we are consumed with anxiety? How hard is it to pray and to sing to the Lord? And so we've got to counter our anxiety by praying about everything. Notice that? It is everything. So it doesn't matter what consumes your heart and mind, rotten tomatoes in the fridge, cards, whatever it might be, in everything, every time anxiety ticks, turn from self and turn to God, and turn to God in prayer. Now, prayer is the very first thing we do as a Christian. When you become a Christian, God gives you his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit testifies to your spirit that you're a child of God. and you pray, and you pray. What do we pray, Alan? We pray Abba Father, don't we? We say, God, Father, your relationship with God has changed from distant God through Christ now, Abba Father. And what an extraordinary gift that is, that we can actually now, though here on earth, come before God in his throne in heaven, because we are raised with Christ, and we come to God boldly. Boldly. Not through priests, not through Mother Mary, not through church, not through ritual. What an extraordinary gift. We who are rebellious, forever teenagers, come before Almighty God because he says come, because of Jesus. Pray. Pray to God as your good and generous Father. So we turn to God in everything, turn to him as good. And we are turned to him in prayer, which is sort of the mode. And then he talks about different types of prayers, if you like. Petition. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer, it's the mode, and petition. Petition is what it sounds like. If you want to go to the government with some requests, you go with a petition. A list of things, a list of reasons and purposes. If you read the Psalms, Psalms are a great example of how the prayer or the singer comes to God with, God, you are good, therefore. God, this is what's happening. Can you do this? God, you said you're faithful. Do this. There's a sense in which there's this argument, not an arguing argument, but a logical argument, and a God, holy God, say, Lord, you are our, you know, you are the shepherd. We are the sheep of your pasture. That's arguing with God in the right sense of the word. And so you're petitioning God and saying to God, this is who you are. This is what you've done. Therefore, so you petition God, knowing that God is a good and generous Father. And then we are to, when anxiety creeps on upon us, we are to do prayer and petition with the vehicle, if you like, of thanksgiving. Okay? To praise him and to worship him and to praise him for using Christ. You see, that's what anxiety does. It drives in your heart. It dries up your worship. Anxiety will make your life with God dry, barren, and hard, particularly when it takes over. And God, who is a jealous God, who loves you and wants you, says, do not be controlled by anxiety. Instead, break through that and worship me in prayer. Worship me in thanksgiving. Worship me in supplication. Worship me, God says, in trusting with all that you are going through. Trust me. And God says, this is the way that he has designed to protect your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Well, that is God's great concern. As Proverbs says, guard your heart, which is the wellspring of life. That as Christians, whatever happens in life, whether it's anxiety or something else, our job is to guard our faith, is to protect the gospel in our hearts and in our minds, in our lives. And God says, when you come to me in prayer, what verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. See, God is saying to you this morning, you are not alone in your anxiety, that God is there. And God says, I will protect you, but come to me. God says, I will protect your faith in your heart and mind, but come to me. This is the place that I've said you can come and drink. This is the place you can come and rest. This is the place you can come and find peace. Worship me through your anxiety, and you will know the peace of God. Worship him through your anxiety, even with your anxiety, and you will know the peace of God. See, God is concerned about the health of your faith. And he knows that if anxiety is left alone, it will be like mold that grows in the darkness, in dampness. If it's left untreated, it will fill your soul with those damaging spores. But God says, I'm here. And he says, I want to give you peace. But again, anxiety, what does it do? It eats peace for breakfast, doesn't it? It eats peace for lunch. It's worry snacks on peace, worry binges on peace. So if you want to fight that, you want to replenish peace, then come to God and trust him in prayer. God says he'll give you his peace, which is a characteristic of himself, which is part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is the result of Jesus' work on his life, death, and resurrection, ascension, that he brings peace between God and man. That gospel peace, that spiritual peace, that characteristic of God that surpasses logic, that is supernatural, that is outside of us, that is beyond us, that peace, God says, is yours in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful gift God is willing and able to give us. That as we look to Jesus, who does not treat us as our sins deserve, as we understand that God is committed to me no matter what I'm feeling, that God loves you because he desires to love you, if you understand that gospel peace, then the supernatural peace comes with it. Peace with God, and you have God's peace. Let me finish. God is committed to protecting your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And he's given us a way whereby we can take all of our anxiety everywhere in any place and bring it before him. The danger again of anxiety is that we lose not personal health or personal peace, but the great danger of anxiety is it'll stop you from worshiping God. Or as is written here, your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Schmeagol. You know Schmeagol. Everyone know Schmeagol? Store hobbit of the river folk who lived near Gladden's field. I'm reading this, so I don't really know this. Smeagol obtains the ring. He kills his relative Deagle. A heinous act. And he becomes anxious and conflicted. And the hunch being a sign of his burden. Now, with some irony, Sméagol, who becomes Gollum, is a good role model. Why? Because he knows what is precious to him. He knows his purpose in life, even though he's conflicted. The ring is precious to him. God's peace should be precious to us. Our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus is your most pr the most precious gift God has given you, and we need to protect that. We should defend it. We should defend it by engaging God in prayer. Let nothing steal the peace of your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Don't let anxiety dominate your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And from a very practical way, something that you can do for the rest of your life, particularly when you get angry, but every morning, is to give thanks to the Lord every morning without fail, worshiping first thing in the morning before you begin to worry about life. I used to sing the old song. I sort of keep forgetting the tune now. I'm sure some of you will be able to remind me. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. How does it go? This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord. Okay, excellent. I won't sing it. You get it. I hope that God does that and puts it in our hearts and minds. Because if we start the day with the worship of God, geez, we're starting on the right foot, aren't we? And we're starting in the praise and worship of God. And let anxiety have second place for a change. Let's pray.